This podcast is supported by The RealReal. Meet Christine. She loves shopping. And this is the sound of fashion overload. Too many fabulous things, not enough space. So Christine started selling with The RealReal.
I've always loved collecting designer pieces. Gucci bags, Prada heels. But my style keeps evolving. Selling with The RealReal? Game changer. I earn more and they do everything.
Seriously, just drop off your items or schedule a pickup. We handle the photos, descriptions, pricing, even shipping. You just sit back and watch your items sell fast to our 40 million members.
And I get peace of mind knowing I earn more selling with The RealReal than anywhere else.
Exactly. That's the sound of your closet working for you. The RealReal. Earn more, save time, sell fast. And only for the month of January, earn up to $550 extra when you sell with The RealReal. That's right, up to $550 extra. Go to TheRealReal.com to get started. Earn up to $550 extra this month at TheRealReal.com. Terms apply.
You're listening to
The Real King
with Joe and Heidi King.
You know, it's a good topic because I talk to people all the time and you can't pray for your enemies without the gift of the Holy Spirit.
Well, yeah, because there wouldn't be any love behind it.
The only way you can really pray without your mind getting involved is praying the perfect will of the Father over them. Mm. And you have to pray in the Spirit.
Let me ask you this.
Yeah.
No, you go ahead.
Okay, so this is like huge on my mind lately because every single time things try to come up in my brain, my flesh, of like, I'm irritated by this right now. Mm-hmm. I'm irritated by this thing right now. I'm irritated by this person right now. I didn't like the way they said that. I don't like the way they said that. What has been happening is the Holy Spirit, immediately after I get that negative thought, says, what spirit just came to you where you're about to receive a blessing and you're going to get it taken away?
Yeah.
Like that's been hitting mm-hmm. me like immediately. So I'm immediately like, forgive me of that thought. Forgive me of that, you know, whatever I said.
Yeah,
forgive me of that anything, because there might be something immediately about to happen and it's trying to block it right there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Think about all the blessings you've lost for us.
Seriously, though.
I'm kidding.
No, I'm serious.
No, but this is the thing, right? We're up against an enemy that has thousands of years of practice manipulating mankind. There is nothing new under the sun. The Bible says that. Science, like, only says there's new things under the sun mm-hmm. just because we've not reached the ability to discover everything in creation yet.
Right.
Right.
But God knows and the enemy knows that there's nothing new under the sun.
Mm-hmm.
So for us as mankind and of a human nature and in the curse of sin that's in the flesh and then the genetics of behavioral patterns and neural pathways that are passed down from generation to generation, mm-hmm. if you have principalities and powers and spiritual rulers that are assigned to you to keep your blood front line from entering into the promised land, they can see things about you where you literally get upset or angry, mm-hmm. but there are similar personality traits to what your mother or your father had. So these things already have an ability to play off of those things. Like this,
you can inherit
off
fear.
Yes,
you can inherit.
Oh, yeah,
like you can inherit those things.
You can.
And the world calls it evolutionary biology, mm-hmm. right? Because the world is like, well, that's you learn to adapt. And that gets down into your DNA and you pass it down.
Your family with storms.
Right? But we just talked about Maldonado like 5 minutes ago. And he does this whole teaching on like conflict and trauma. And people can pass down trauma because it infiltrates your DNA to future generations.
Yeah.
Unless you deal with it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What God's shown me is, when it comes to the gifts of the Spirit, the mm-hmm. supernatural, now we've had opportunity to pray with people on their deathbed and lead them to Jesus, mm-hmm. right? And then they pass from this world and they go on into eternity. And we're like, yes, we got to have that conversation. And there is different denominations out there that will tell you they didn't go to heaven because they didn't have this, this, and this, right? So
neither did the thief on the cross.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm not the judge. Mm-hmm. And the Bible tells us don't be.
Right.
That's Jesus sits in what they call, what the Bible calls the bema, the judgment seat, right? But he also, until
Jewish
that day.
People also have a bema.
Until the great and terrible day,
mm-hmm.
he sits there as an advocate for you.
Yeah.
He pleads your case before the Father. So what I teach, or what I believe, what God has shown me, is because we're up against this adversary that has thousands of years of experience manipulating and lying and convincing angels to fall with him, convincing Eve to eat from the tree of knowledge mm-hmm. of good and evil. We need, if I'm going to live another 40 years, another 20, and I'm in relationship with Christ, I need supernatural added to my body and my personality,
mm-hmm.
my spirit. I need that supernatural to be able to actually defend myself or go on the offense against these things.
And it's the thing. So not the person.
Right.
I don't know if this is like a personality trait or if you have this as well, either of you, but like, if I'm in conflict with someone, I don't hold a grudge. I really don't.
Right. I don't either.
Because I zoom out immediately. And oftentimes I try to understand where they are coming from
mm-hmm.
and why they might be feeling the way they're feeling, or if there's other external factors. But I think the number one most helpful thing that you can do when you're dealing with people and there's a potential for conflict is to understand and learn the fact that it's not you against them. It's the both of you against the disagreement.
Yeah.
It's the both of you against what the enemy is trying to do.
Yeah.
It's not me against Heidi if we have a conflict. It needs to be Heidi and I against the conflict.
Right. Yes.
It's Heidi and I against the disagreement, against the confusion.
Yes.
And as soon as you can like zoom out, and that's where the piece of like compassion and empathy comes from. Because I think that's why I can't really hold a grudge. I'm just not the type personally.
Yeah.
I know there are people that are like that, but
it helps me not hold grudges because of the verse where it says, say the verse. It's
pick one.
It's where it's basically talking about watch how you judge, because that could be you, like,
yeah,
real quick.
Paul was talking about that. And he's like, don't, I can't remember the verse right now.
Judge lest you.
No, it's not judge,
it's
not
like
lest
you could
ye be
fall
judged.
Into that.
He talks about being careful when like somebody falls, because you're usually only a decision away from being in the same boat.
Yeah.
So you're not
Let
supposed to.
Quick.
When I've encountered some sort of offense,
mm-hmm.
and my flesh is still hurt, my mind, my spirit man is wounded, but Jesus commanded, love your neighbor as you love yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he mandated that if you bless your enemies, it's like heaping up coals from the altar on their head. They just won't understand it.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll bring discomfort to them. But I know that if I try to pray in my intellect, in my own abilities,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to grit my teeth. Yeah, God bless them. You know, and you're going to pray, and God knows the intention of my heart.
Mm-hmm.
So for me to pray and have a demeanor that doesn't match the words that are coming out of my mouth, I can't manipulate God. You know, he sees the intention of my heart. But if I pray in my prayer language, in the Holy Spirit,
mm-hmm.
for that person, I go in there intentionally going with the thought of that person and their picture in my mind, and then I pray in the Holy Spirit. Once I break through the veil of the flesh and I get that release, I can be in forgiveness with them.
Mm-hmm.
And then not only will I do that, but the Holy Spirit will pray the perfect will of the Father over them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I want to tap back on his verse when he was just talking about how he pleads your case before the Father.
Yeah.
1 John 2:1-2. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate who pleads our case before the Father. I've never really fully heard that voice or that verse before, because when he said it, mm-hmm. I immediately had like this image of Jesus saying to the Father, like, yeah, I know,
forgive them because
like Heidi, just, she's got a really good heart.
Let me ask you this. We're called to be just like him.
Yeah.
How often are you advocating on someone else's behalf to God?
Right.
And pleading their case.
Yeah.
Isn't that an interesting thought?
It is.
Like, how often are you like, Lord, they need some help?
Yeah.
And yeah.
Like, I know they did this, yeah. but they really, they have like a really good.
Yeah. Send your Holy Spirit.
Yeah. You found it? Yay.
Of course he did.
Brethren, if any person is overtaken with misconduct or sin of any sort.
Yes.
You who are spiritual,
yes,
who are responsive to and controlled by the Spirit, should set him right and restore and reinstate him without any sense of superiority,
mm-hmm.
and with all gentleness, keeping attentive eye on yourself, lest you should be tempted also.
Yes. That right there, that verse has gotten deep, deep, deep within me, why I do not have tendencies to hold grudges.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, or even judge, like when somebody falls.
Oh, I judge.
When somebody falls, you know, I seen a person recently that, man, like they've taken a lot of Christians for a ride.
Let me ask you this, though.
Mm-hmm.
How hard is it the fourth time they do it? Or the fifth?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
To not judge.
Yeah.
That's where I slip right there.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're like, really?
Well, there's scripture.
Dog back to their vomit,
yeah.
dude.
Yeah, there's scripture mm-hmm. for that, you know? And,
yeah.
And actually, if the church had a backbone.
Come on.
And they addressed those things correctly and in good time, which means quick and efficient. They don't allow things to be carried out. You take one or two witnesses without anything to do with it, you address it.
But you personally,
yeah.
within your own, you know, because like you and I, for sure, who knows about Heidi? We're very tender. We're tender hearted.
It's a one and done with me. You screw up one time, yeah, you are out. You are out.
Yeah.
I'm kidding. I'm absolutely kidding.
When
we know you're when kidding because Joe's still here.
Yeah, no kidding. When I encounter those things and it's repetitive sin.
Yeah. Or just repetitive foolishness. Sometimes people just make mistakes. It's not even, and it's like dumb mistakes.
Yeah, I'm talking about where they're tempting God.
Yeah.
So for me, when I know they know better.
Yeah.
I remove myself from the relationship. I don't. Unless God really puts it on my heart, I'm not pouring into that.
Yeah.
Because that will distract yes. you from yeah. the okay. real.
Yeah. Can we tap on that for a minute?
Do it.
Not every single appointment that you think is.
This podcast is supported by The RealReal. Meet Christine. She loves shopping. And this is the sound of fashion overload. Too many fabulous things, not enough space. So Christine started selling with The RealReal.
I've always loved collecting designer pieces. Gucci bags, Prada heels. But my style keeps evolving. Selling with The RealReal? Game changer. I earn more, and they do everything.
Seriously, just drop off your items or schedule a pickup. We handle the photos, descriptions, pricing, even shipping. You just sit back and watch your items sell fast to our 40 million members.
And I get peace of mind knowing I earn more selling with The RealReal than anywhere else.
Exactly. That's the sound of your closet working for you. The Real Real. Earn more, save time, sell fast. And only for the month of January, earn up to $550 extra when you sell with The Real Real. That's right, up to $550 extra. Go to TheRealReal.com to get started. Earn up to $550 extra this month at TheRealReal.com. Terms apply.
God is God.
No.
Right.
There is discernment that needs to go into play here, because you could have people, the devil can send people just as easy as God can put opportunities in front of your path.
Yeah.
So there could be a person that is actually sent there as a distraction, mm-hmm, versus a person that's sent there because the Holy Spirit needs you to sow into them at that particular
moment.
Let
me tell you, the people that will distract you the most are the ones that are struggling to get free from what you are already got free from. Mm. That is your pain point, 100%.
Yeah, because you're gonna go all in. Because you know what freedom looks like from, yep, that.
And that is going to be your pain point. And I think where I struggle is watching that unfold.
Yeah.
And continuing to return with the same level of Holy Spirit in charge.
Right, right.
The same level of compassion and empathy and Christ-like behavior.
Yeah.
When
because
we
it's like the balance tips.
Yeah.
And I go flesh. Because, yeah, I want to tell people about themselves.
Yeah.
I don't, but...
If somebody comes in for prayer or deliverance, right, mm-hmm, for the same thing over and over, and you're... So this has happened to me where I'm supposed to be at Bible study on Wednesday night.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll run into a situation where this person's pouring out their heart, and I think I'm gonna get them out of this. I'm gonna pray for them. I'm gonna do whatever.
You're gonna purple heart them. You're gonna carry
all of
them
a
on
sudden,
your back.
Right?
Yeah. I look down at the clock, and I've missed this was an obligation for me.
Mm-hmm.
I've committed myself to, because this is a part of the ministry that I've come into and answered the call on.
Yeah.
And at the end of the conversation, nothing has changed.
Yeah.
I can tell, because I have discernment through the Holy Spirit, that there's no fruit,
yes, yep,
coming from this.
More on that discernment. You can tell in conversations if you are talking to a wall.
Yeah.
Or if it's actually being fruitful.
Well, sometimes they'll bait, yeah, you, and they'll agree. And then, yep, they'll end the conversation with some attitude or rebelliousness that says, I'll agree to disagree, and then they walk off, and you've just missed out on multiple,
yeah,
opportunities.
There's that. Sometimes I've been in situations, and I, like you and I have talked about this, where someone starts in and they're like, you know, my knee hurts and my hip, mm-hmm, and my left eye, and like, this is a common one, right? Where people are like, especially if they're chronically ill, they're just like at their wit's end a lot of times.
Yeah.
You know? But I've come into situations where in that conversation, the second or third time I offer like advice and a way out, or
mm-hmm,
somehow to improve, or,
yep,
well, that's how, you know, you need to pray about it. Like offering that type of help,
mm-hmm,
and they're like, yeah, but,
yeah,
I've literally,
yeah, but,
said,
yeah,
I've,
but
I've literally said to them,
or I've tried that,
no, but I've said to them, okay, well, you tell me, are you just looking to vent right now, or do you actually want help?
Yeah,
come on.
Because those are two different things. Do you actually want feedback, or do you just want to vent right now?
I was listening to a Bill Johnson teaching, and it was really a good
shout out, Bill.
Teaching.
I'm sure he's listening.
And he was talking about just things that we do in the body of Christ that are so far from God but sound spiritual. And he said, you pray and you put your heart out and you put all your faith on the line for somebody, and you just believe that God did it. And you're like, in Jesus' name, be healed, or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And they go, I know God can do it. And it sounds spiritual to them,
mm-hmm,
but they've just let go of the answer. They said, I know God can do it, like he hasn't done it already on the cross.
Yeah.
And then they walk away, mm-hmm, and they don't get the blessing. He said, sometimes when you step into that arena or that posture of prayer, and you pray the prayer and you both agree, shut up and walk away.
Yeah.
Keep your mouth shut and walk away.
Yeah.
Yep.
Because what you thought sounded spiritual, that may lead to I could possibly be healed.
Right.
Probably just cut off. It just probably ripped the check in half.
Yeah.
God wrote the check. He was in the middle of signing it, and you just dumped a glass of water.
Yeah.
On
yeah.
It.
Well, the enemy gets all of his power by us taking the bait of believing the lie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Whatever it may be.
Yeah.
So, like, I always would struggle with panic and fear. But I had to believe the lie that he was feeding me in mm-hmm. order to even partner with that thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. So yeah. once you get like the truth, the veil removed and the lie is no longer able to be in your life, that's when you get freedom. So yeah. the repetitive sin thing, if you are continually going back to the same thing over and over and over and you can't get freedom from it, multiple things are wrong there. But number one, you're still believing the lie. Mm-hmm. You're still believing the lie that you just can't quit or that you just can't do that or it's going to be too hard. So you're still believing a lie about something. But in Ephesians 5, 25 and 26, he reminded them of how deeply Christ is committed to the church, the body of believers. Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her so that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So the reason that renewing your mind is so important, the reason that washing of water through the word is important in those scriptures is because whether you're believing the lie still by Satan, where is that all stemming from? If you're believing something, where is the party right now? Mm-hmm. It's in your mind.
When I teach about deliverance and we talk about setting the prisoner or the captive free, prisoner is somebody that's already accepted their sentence. They've been put there out of judgment. They've had a trial. So they're a prisoner. A captive is somebody that's had a charge brought against them, circumstantial evidence, and now they're awaiting sentencing. So a lot of times they're believing they're held captive right. to that accusation, that yep. thought, that imagination. That's why Paul said, bring every thought and imagination captive to the true knowledge of God.
Yeah. It's all mind, though. Because when you are doing repetitive sin, things don't just automatically happen right away. It always starts up here first, where you start to play with the idea.
You romanticize.
Yeah. Yeah. So let's pretend that, you know, you have an issue with, like, you have an issue with sin in a certain area.
Yeah. I'm on vacation.
Right.
I can have one.
Yes. Okay. So that goes through your mind first.
People don't take Jesus on vacation with them.
Yeah, but it enters your mind first, right? Mm-hmm. So you're now playing with that. Yeah. So at that moment right there is where the devil just came back to try to make you get into a repetitive sin cycle. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because what would occur when that first thought came of, oh, I can just have one. I'm on vacation. If you were in your word and renewed your mind, that would immediately get taken to the subjection of truth and it would be wiped out right there.
Mm-hmm.
But what's happening is people are missing that piece. So mm-hmm. then that thought comes and then they didn't do it.
Yeah.
So then they feel victorious over, man, I am really strong right now. Thank you, Jesus.
I.
Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, 2 days later or a week later, somebody comes up to them and or they go to like a party or something, or they go to like a work event, and all of a sudden something that they've been struggling with is there again. And then all of a sudden they're like, well, I'm just going to have a sip or something. Mm-hmm. But there is like a constant thing where you play with the idea,
yeah.
you romanticize the idea, you don't immediately kill it and get rid of it. Mm-hmm. And that's the reason that you're constantly going into complete sin. And then when you do the repetitive sin is when you say, I just can't do this. This is too hard. So yeah. now he just took what you romanticized in your mind because you weren't washing it, you weren't renewing it, and then he then had you believe the lie again. So mm-hmm. it is this cycle of constantly believing that lie that you're never going to get freedom from that thing.
Yeah. You have to change your behavior. You have to take a stance. Like you have to be willing to fight for your freedom.
Yes.
You know, because you're always, those things are always going to go out. Jesus said they'll go out, they'll find no comfort, and they'll say, let me return to my home. I've had the most temptation in the last 15 years, always when we're on like vacation.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Struggled with like pornography, stuff like that. We always go to places with beaches because we don't like snow because we're here in snow all the time. So what happens? Boom. Struggle with pornography. You're free. You're doing good. We go to a beach. It's scantily clad human beings everywhere, mm-hmm. right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. And they're like all in your face.
Yeah.
So how do you get yourself to a place where that's no longer a temptation? If you have to, carry your physical Bible on the beach.
Yeah.
Because if that's in your hand and you're walking around looking for a place to put your towel down, you're one, your flesh is going to be conscious of the fact that you're probably the only guy carrying a 5-pound Bible with a leather-bound Bible on the beach.
Right.
And then two, you've changed your behavioral patterns that in a way that makes a statement about you and your belief structure.
Yeah.
So now you would feel like a hypocrite if you caught yourself looking a little too long on somebody or something like that. But that's the things I've had to do in my life to change behavior.
Yeah.
I have to get just as rebellious against those poor conducts that led to sin as I did towards God when I walked away from them.
Right.
You've also, though, created a situation at home where you verbalize it mm-hmm. and you bring light right away.
Mm-hmm.
And like how many people just kind of like reserve those things. Okay. So like earmuffs
mm-hmm.
for the kids. But like, I know of couples
mm-hmm.
that they're Christian. They serve the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
They maybe serve in ministry together and they go on a little couples getaway and they want to watch porn together.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean?
Right.
Like
I just talked to some people about this.
Like, you need to say it out loud and say, this isn't right. And we shouldn't do this together anymore.
Right. Right.
And get free together.
Yeah.
I always like to turn it though. What is that guy going to do? Right. What is that guy going to do if he goes to work and he comes home and catches her watching it alone?
Or vice versa.
No, like, think about this, though.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times that's brought on.
It's actually like, more pervasive now.
Like, splice and more common. But if I came home and I found you engaged in something like that, I would take it personal.
Absolutely.
Like, I could no longer fulfill your needs.
Correct. And that's how
that's exactly
girls
how society. We
yeah.
Yeah.
Society would have us to believe that, you know, men probably bring the idea out, like, hey, we should mm-hmm. do this, right?
I think that used to be the case, but I feel like it's probably more balanced now.
Yeah.
But when you're talking to somebody about it and you spin it the other way,
mm-hmm.
now the woman is utilizing this vehicle of sin without you. You come home and catch her in it. Sure, the first response might...
This podcast is supported by The RealReal. Meet Christine. She loves shopping. And this is the sound of fashion overload. Too many fabulous things, not enough space. So Christine started selling with The RealReal.
I've always loved collecting designer pieces. Gucci bags, Prada heels. But my style keeps evolving. Selling with The RealReal? Game changer. I earn more and they do everything.
Seriously, just drop off your items or schedule a pickup. We handle the photos, descriptions, pricing, even shipping. You just sit back and watch your items sell fast to our 40 million members.
And I get peace of mind knowing I earn more selling with The RealReal than anywhere else.
Exactly. This? That's the sound of your closet working for you. The RealReal. Earn more, save time, sell fast. And only for the month of January, earn up to $550 extra when you sell with The RealReal. That's right, up to $550 extra. Go to TheRealReal.com to get started. Earn up to $550 extra this month at TheRealReal.com. Terms apply.
Be like, okay, I'm going to join into this activity.
Mm-hmm.
But when there's a moment of conscious thought,
mm-hmm.
it's gonna put a person into a place of insecurity.
Yeah.
Right? So now all of a sudden this man is going to be insecure and he's going to lose trust.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right? So when we think about those activities, the health and longevity of the relationship is completely jeopardized by thinking that you're going to utilize that as a way to do something.
Yeah. Right.
And that's just one example. But like,
it could be used for so many.
So many. Like, Carlos and I literally had a trip planned for Vegas. And we both felt conviction and decided not to go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because there was not going to be any fruit that came of it. Right. It was completely self-indulgent. And we ended up going to Florida instead.
Yeah. I knew a couple. You know what I mean?
It's something, it could be, because that's a crack in your foundation.
Absolutely, it's a crack. But it could be anything. Like, if a married couple goes into something together, period. Like, we're okay with both drinking on the weekends. But then all of a sudden, one of them starts drinking every day. Or we're both okay with getting high.
Or we're trying to be healthier.
Yeah, we're on this diet.
One of them shows up with blizzards.
Yes.
I knew a couple.
I looked
that
right at Joe.
He got delivered of alcoholism, and uh-huh. So we were at a party, mm-hmm. and there was a lot of people there, and I watched his wife order a very large drink. Right, it was like a big alcoholic drink, and I turned around to him, and I was like, "How are you okay with that?" And he goes, "Oh no, she's a grown up. She's fine." And I was like, "No," I said, "that's not fine." I said, the things that God's done and where you guys are at, that should not even be a thing anymore.
Correct.
No, I'm fine with it. He not only cheated on her with a woman that drank, but he left her in their child to go live with that person. Mm-hmm. And as I seen that, I looked and I was like, that's a harvest.
Yeah. Yes.
But the harvest was from her. She begged God for a godly husband that was alcohol free.
Girl, listen, there's a lot of women that do this all the time, and they lay down the law. I'm going to leave you. You better quit drinking. Lord, deliver him. And they turn around and they go to the winery.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And they're like, but I have self-control.
Yeah.
Wine's not bad. It's in the Bible.
Right.
Oh, you just keep telling yourself that, babe.
Yeah.
You just got right back into bed with the thing that God's trying to take him out of.
The thing that stole your intimacy from, the thing that stole your
gross.
Your peace.
Yeah.
And then you're baiting.
Yes.
With that thing.
Yeah.
But it's all these things.
It's a spirit of self-indulgence.
If we don't understand.
That's what it is.
If we don't understand, like, all things, I can't remember the scriptures, like all things are
what's wrong
good,
with
but
us?
They're not profitable. Mm-hmm. Like all things are acceptable, but not all things are profitable is the scripture. You should look it up.
I'm going to.
But what happens is we have entitlements and all these opinions on what we should be able to do as people that are creatures of choice, free mm-hmm. will. When we engage in things that can bring us to the appearance of evil, we'll reap a harvest of evil.
Well, she's looking that up. So I had a little bit of conviction because I just got a little judgy.
Hmm. Yeah.
You know, and attitude-y Judy about what I just said.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it makes me, so I pause and I think, there's something, Heidi and I were just talking about this at dinner. We need to seek wholeness with God. We need to pray for him to make us whole and complete mm-hmm. in him, through him.
Yeah.
We're whole.
Yeah.
If you see some situation like we just described where somebody gets delivered and then their spouse like goes right back to that thing or continues to indulge themselves.
Right.
If I look at it through like compassion and empathy, something is amiss. Something is amiss. They're not fully restored. They're mm-hmm. not whole and they're seeking it out. Something is amiss there. Mm-hmm. And it makes me like, here's the thing. I could talk till I'm blue in the face and say, that's wrong. You shouldn't do it. And even get frustrated and a little snarky about it.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, if it's somebody that's like our brother and sister, then, you know, in Christ, we need to find out what's going on. What's going on? Because you're still seeking something other than him.
Right.
And if you've done the thing and if you just dig in and taste and see that the Lord is good, you're not going to seek that other thing because he's too good.
Think about last night. Right. So we went to this event.
Yeah.
Right. So Heidi and I were at a conference for like 3 days. And then you guys met us last night. We went to this event
mm-hmm.
and like we're rounding off. We got there at like, what, 5, mm-hmm. something like that. We're hitting about 8 p.m. And all of a sudden there was a prophetic call for like 300 and some people to go into prayer in groups of like 40 or 50.
Yeah.
It sounded like thunder in that place.
Did it?
To me, it did. It sounded, it was very heavy.
God was talking to me.
It was because to be in the presence of like 300 people praying
in the Holy
all
Spirit
at one time.
And I blinked. I literally blinked. It was like 8 p.m. I blinked and it was midnight. You know what I mean though?
Yeah,
like time went
fast.
So fast. And I was thinking, here you had 300 people taking a Friday night and pressing into God.
Do you know, I totally showed up and was doing the thing. Like, all right, Lord, I'm here. Use this man of God.
This is your opportunity.
Better make it good.
I'm listening.
You got me here.
I was like, Lord, have this preacher call me out right now and give me a word. Mm-hmm. Have him call me out.
Yeah.
Mm. I'm ready.
Yeah. Yep.
And we got in our group.
Yeah.
And he had women go with women, men go with men.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like mildly distracted because I felt like I was standing in a weird space. But it was like fine.
In general, that was awkward. Was it awkward for your male group to try to get into a circle and hold hands?
They had their arms around each other.
Yeah, we just went for it.
They went for it.
Oh, well, so you were in the cool men group then?
I only knew 3 people, 4 people in that group.
You had Carlos in your group.
We had Carlos, Maximus.
I did the thing.
Chris
like,
Acker and myself that I knew.
Shout out Chris.
Personally.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'll just love, name drop everybody.
So Chris Acker, if you're listening.
And we know you are.
I love your brother.
He's my prayer man crush.
Oh my.
Like,
wow.
I don't know if you can spiritually say that.
Brandon just shut the podcast
no,
off.
No, Brandon is like my prayer warrior also.
I can literally hear Brandon going, wow.
I told Chris this last
Brandon's
night.
Brandon's listening in the car, just missed his turn.
I can listen to so Chris upset. Pray.
Oh, for
like
sure.
I can listen to anointed music.
Yes, yes.
And I stopped him after he was praying for me and I said, dude, like there is flavor.
Yes.
There is flavor on your words.
Yes.
When I think of the salt of the earth and you're prophetically speaking over people, I listened to him speak over like 20 people.
Yes.
Bang, bang, bang. And I'm just listening to his heart cry out for these people and there's no pause.
Yes.
There's no like long trying to remember what his goal of what he was going to say was. It's just he's praying in the spirit. And I'm like, there is a flavor that is on that and an anointing. And I'm like, you need to pray for me. But this man invokes me to holy jealousy every time we're at the altar together. And I'm always next to him at the altar.
Yeah.
And like, man, prayer will happen and this guy gets hit with the power and he's gone. He's like down. And I'm like, oh, my turn. You know, like
yes.
He invokes me to want more.
The first time I ever heard him pray, I literally poked Joe and I was like, he's supposed to preach. Like that's how
he's ordained.
That's
he
how
is
anointed
a preacher.
His prayers are. Absolutely. But
yeah.
I don't know much about Chris, but I know Megan and I are best friends. So. Shout out
I
Megan.
Love Megan too. Megan's got a good sense of humor.
Megan just turned up the podcast. She's like,
so
what's
last
up, girl?
last night we're talking and Chris goes, oh, growing a beard. And I'm like, oh,
are we gonna hear the story again?
Yes.
Oh
and
my
Heidi,
gosh, this story
yet.
Has been told like 15 times today.
Heidi was bragging about how she made me grow a beard because she wanted a more
manly
man, right? So I'm like, yeah, Heidi wanted me to grow a beard.
Yeah. There's something about it.
He goes, oh, she hates your real face.
You know what? That's exactly what I would say.
And I was like, I had like a light bulb moment. And I was like, next time she's mad at me, I'm just going to look her dead in the eye. And I'm just going to be like, you hate my real face.
Isn't my real face good enough for you, Heidi?
You just, You just hate my real face. You're fighting so with me because you hate my real face. I'm going to go shave right now.
Yeah. Like a way to really get back at me, just shave it off.
So when you
just
think about
half of it. Yeah. Like mustache, like beard, the whole thing.
Like I'm doing a Gillette commercial.
I'm not talking top and bottom. I'm saying half your face vertically.
Yeah. I think top and bottom would be way funnier.
I think there was like a Barbasol or Gillette commercial back in the like the
Barbasol.
80s or 90s. Yeah,
not
shaving
sponsored.
Cream.
Not sponsored.
But when you think about these things, these temptations and stuff, we were in an environment of hunger.
Yeah.
Can we just
hunger
be super,
and thirst after righteousness.
Can we be super, super, super raw right now?
Yeah.
When you go to a meeting where you know, like, the man speaking is extremely anointed, has so much fruit following him, and you go there, your expectations are high.
Yeah.
Okay?
You need to have that kind of expectation in your own local church every Sunday.
Absolutely. But like Christina, how she was a little bit raw at the beginning there, said like, I did kind of go in kind of like, yeah, okay, I'm here.
Because I'm always involved, right? Mm-hmm. Like I'm always leading worship and stuff. And yeah. I'm like, all right, anybody got a word for me?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And then how you said he went down in the glory and then you kind of thought like, okay, me next here. Like, hello.
Yeah.
That is some real rawness that needs to be out here because many people go into services like that and they want to touch, they're hungry, and then they go up and all of these people that seem like they get touches all the time. They seem like they're on the floor all the time. Yeah. They seem like they get called out with prophetic stuff all the time. Those are the ones that go out first, and the ones that are sitting there striving and hungry are usually the ones that like they don't get called out or they yeah. don't get put on the ground slain in the spirit.
Yeah, you want to know why? Hmm. Well, at least for me. So like I was in the circle with the group that we had. Mm-hmm. I did the whole like if the teacher's like, okay, find a partner. I looked at Heidi and I was like, yeah, me and you, you know, wherever she's going. I was ready to like elbow people out of the way.
Gun.
Listen, so I was in the circle and like some people were kind of preying on one another, but nobody preyed on me, which is fine. Mm-hmm. But I was like, okay. And I was like very conscious. Like I was praying, but I was like specifically like, all right, what God? Mm-hmm. Are you going to send him over here or should I go find him? And he was like, no, this is me and you.
Yes.
This is me and you.
Yes.
You don't need nobody else right now. This is me and you.
Yeah.
And he literally gave me a word. I told Heidi. And he literally gave me a word specifically for me.
Yeah.
And it was just me and him. Yeah. And it was one of the most intimate altar situations, experiences that I've personally ever had.
Yeah.
And I didn't need one person to pray on me.
Yeah.
I didn't need to get knocked out.
Yeah.
I didn't need the guy that came halfway across the country to lay his hands on me. It was just me and God.
Yes.
And that, it was more profound than any of those other things could
yes.
have been.
Yes, yes.
So on the flip side of that, sometimes, right? So the other night, we were in the middle of a session in this conference, and there was a time of worship, and I was just like, God, I want it tonight. I want to have that pivotal moment that sets me ablaze for what you've really called me to do, right? So sitting there, your heart's cry, right? Mm-hmm. And God has met me where I'm at before. Mm-hmm. He said, he'll stand at the door and knock. Mm-hmm. I answered the door. Once I answered the door, I'm no longer the pursued. Mm-hmm. I become the pursuer. Mm-hmm. So I sat there and I watched Brandon run to the altar. Mm-hmm. And I was like, you were supposed to be there first. And I sat there and I prayed. And then I looked around me and all my ways were blocked.
Mm. Were you ready and to I was crawl like, over chairs? Oh,
I gotta, I'll just pray here.
Yeah.
And then it got harder and harder for me to sit there, and I started to like really struggle. And God was telling me, like, you want somebody to call you out, mm-hmm. but I don't need to call you out through anybody anymore.
Come on.
I need you to be obedient.
Come on.
Dude, I scooted between the table and people and had to move a lady's cane and jump over that. I get up there. I'm like, now I had to walk through people that are listening to the speaker. So, like, instead of going when it was cool to go, I went when it was awkward yeah. and strange. Mm-hmm. But in doing that, I got up there and I started to hit a place of intimacy yep. with God where I was like, I'm in full surrender right now. Mm-hmm. And like, even if you don't talk to me, I'm just going to worship. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, this man comes over and starts prophesying over me. But he was like reading my mail.
The one that I was
different
waiting for?
Different one.
Okay.
Different day.
So okay. He's like reading my mail. And he's just praying over me, but he's saying like 98% of what I was just talking to God about mm-hmm. and just wrecking me, right? So God's now just like, obedience brings sacrifice. Mm-hmm. Better late than never. Mm-hmm. Even though you're late, first person that I'm gonna put the man of God to pray on, mm-hmm. right? Sometimes we sit there and we're like, come to us, God, call us out, God. And he's like, I've already got you past that point. Mm-hmm. I can't keep meeting you where you're at because you're going to stay where you're at.
Come on.
If you stay where you're at, you're going to stay where you're at. Mm-hmm. And if you stay where you're at and you stay where you're at, you're not going to ever step out and you're not going to chase anything. You're not going to go through any storm to get there. You're not going to go through troubled seas and have to say, yeah. peace, be still.
Yeah. So my moment in the glory circle, my flesh, I'm going to call it that forever now.
Sure.
Was when we got up there to pray again, I was expecting I'm past this. I'm past like having to receive the words from a man because God's done so much. Right. Mm-hmm. But yet you still crave them. It's almost like a craving.
Yeah, we're you like, get addicted to it.
We're like, I need a word from like an anointed man right now.
Yeah.
Like, I just need one. Like, call I need one out. Right yep. now, right?
You it's get, easier not to question that later.
Yes, you get like addicted to it. You get cravings for it. And so like, I'm like sitting there and I'm like, all right, well, I'm gonna go. I bet 50% of the people at least that ran up there when he said, if you want glory, you come up here and get it right now. I guarantee that 50% of them went up because they thought that man was going to be praying for them.
Yeah.
And then he turned and he's like, all right.
And then flipped he right turned the pages and said, you all get in groups together and start praying. And I bet those 50% of the people, because I was one of them, was like, are you kidding me right now? Like, are you kidding
could've
me right now? Could have done it from home. Like, I could have did this at home.
Yep.
And when I was up there, I started to pray in this. Well, first of all, I asked for forgiveness. Step one, people, if you had any of those comments going mm-hmm. through your mind, ask for forgiveness for them because who are you? Okay. Mm-hmm. And then I started to pray in the spirit. And then as I was praying in the spirit, I could hear so I heard the thunderings of the prayers, but I could hear people dropping. And even while I could hear people drop in, I'm like, why am I not dropping?
Yep.
I got a clean heart. I got pure heart. Like, why am I not dropping right now? And I just kept praying.
You started singing, show us your glory, like yes. extra hard.
God was using you this weekend to pray for people and they were falling.
You're taking my okay. story. Okay. So I'm sitting there praying and praying and praying. And then all of a sudden, it hit me that you will step into glory when you start taking yourself out of it and go and help these other people. Mm-hmm. Because all of a sudden, when I was in that moment, I literally felt, this is craziness. I stopped praying or singing me. And I started to pray them. Mm. And I can't remember the song they were singing, but I was literally like, pour your glory out on them. Pour your glory out on them. Show your presence to them. Show your presence to them. And I don't even know if I like consciously did that myself, but all of a sudden I caught myself where it was no longer, Lord, pour your glory out on me. Pour your glory out on me. It was now pour your glory out on them. Pour your glory out on them. And my heart started to change for them because God has done so much in my life and continues to. Like, how much more of his show off of his presence do I need at this point? Mm-hmm. Like, maybe start giving some of that back out, because he's been so present in my life as it is that, like, you say this often, he could do nothing from this point forward and that would still be enough.
Yep.
And I was like having this overwhelmingness all of a sudden where I stopped looking at myself completely. And I was just seeing all of these women in front of me that like needed a touch.
Yeah.
And so I switched it and I started praying for the two women that were directly next to me, and God started to give me words for one of them, and I started to speak them and pray, mm-hmm. and all of a sudden she just broke and all of the stuff. And then as soon as I started doing that, my knees almost buckled. Mm-hmm. And that is where the glory came in. Mm-hmm. And so I think like you receiving the glory is different levels of it based on where you are at currently.
Yeah, because he'll take you from glory to glory.
Yes.
You know, when you were talking, it kind of reminded me, like, you know how you have like close friends or siblings, right? And like you guys, when you come over, the door is unlocked.
Mm. Right.
And
except for tonight.
Which it was unlocked. We didn't know how to operate a door.
Yeah. It was a pull.
It was a push, not pull.
Yeah.
Yeah. ID10T air. No, but so the door is always unlocked. Yeah. The door is always unlocked. And then you guys, like, I tell you, just come in.
Yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm. And I feel like sometimes that's God. Like, he's like, yeah, just come in.
Right.
And then it's like irritating or like weird if you told somebody that or if you like text him, right?
Yeah.
Because he doesn't text us, but he has his word that he gave us.
Yep.
And you know that you can just approach him anytime, right? He already told you that. So if I text you and I'm like, door's open, just come in.
Yes.
And you get here and you ring my doorbell.
Yes.
What are you doing?
And not just ring it, but ring it incessantly.
And then like knock.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I told you to come in. And you're like, you didn't answer the door.
Yeah.
You didn't come and get me at the door.
Right.
Okay, well, that's dumb. Yeah. I told you already.
Yeah.
I already wrote you something that said just come in.
Yes.
Right? And then, like, also at the same time, I sort of had this, like, not a vision, like a spiritual vision, but just, like, imagined. Like, your kid gets old enough, right? Where, like, you don't have to, like, buckle them in and unbuckle them.
Mm-hmm.
And like, can you imagine like everywhere you go, like you go to the store and you're like, you get out of the car, you get halfway into the store. And you're like, where's my kid?
Mm.
And they're sitting there in the car waiting.
Mm. Mm.
Well, I thought you were going to come get me.
But they're like 25.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought you were going to come get me. Seriously.
Extreme right there.
Seriously. And then you like you get home and you park the car in the garage, you get out, you go in the house and you're like, where are they?
Right.
And they're still sitting in the car. You're like, hello.
Yeah.
They're like, yeah, but you didn't specifically come out or send somebody to come out and get me.
Come on.
I didn't know if you wanted me to come.
And you're like, use these two hands I gave you.
Yeah.
Use the skills I've given you and taught you and we've practiced.
Yeah.
And use them yourself and get out and come in.
Yes.
Mm.
Come on.
Thank you so much for joining us for today's episode. We are so blessed to have the privilege to share with you. If you haven't already, please connect with us on Facebook and Instagram. You can find us by searching at The Real King Podcast. That's at T-H-E Real King Podcast. The Real King Podcast is recorded in Eau Claire, Wisconsin. It is hosted by Joe and Heidi King, who are joined each week by Christina Santamaria as a moderator and contributor. It is produced and edited by Joe and Heidi King and Carlos and Christina Santamaria. All content is under copyright and all rights are reserved.